You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. I'm Jack Jackson, sitting in Larry's chair, trying desperately to fill his shoes. Not sure I'm doing it, but I'm having a lot of fun trying. Larry's got the day off, and we wish him the best as he takes that day. It's hard-earned and well-deserved. In the first hour, we talked a little bit about the military and what's going on. We had an expert, John Rusimondo, from the Defense Analyst Group, and he shared with us. This hour, it has two parts. One, I want to talk a little bit about China and my personal experience with the Chinese. And two, we've got the world-renowned, those are my words, I think he is, Dr. Rick Lehman coming in the second half of the hour to from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine to discuss biological boys in female sports. And you may have read in the news where the Caitlyn Jenner, I believe her name is, who used to be Bruce, had the sex change. Now she's a woman and running for governor in California. And she said in her last quote, "It's not fair." And we'll get Dr. Lehman to discuss that further. But I got a story that I want to share with you about when I was in China, and a similar one when I was in Russia. But before I do that, this weekend, I had the privilege of speaking to a group that is a national group called the Victims of Communism. And there were people from all over the world at this event, China, Russia, Ukraine. And on it went. And I met these people, and they talked about the harshness of communism. But what was interesting to me, before I get into that a little bit, was after the event was over the next day, that afternoon and yesterday, I would ask some people just that I randomly met. I was doing some Sunday afternoon, doing a couple errands, and I stopped a person that I knew, Kylie, and I said to her, "Hey, what do you think about this Marxist movement?" And she looked at me kind of like I'd grown horns. And she said, "Marxist? I don't even know him." You got to be kidding me. I thought, I got to say this on Larry Connors' show. He, along with every one of his listeners, is going to appreciate that comment. So I thought, I wonder how far I can take this. So I was at another store doing something else, just picking up something. And I ran to another guy that I know. And, "Hey, Jack, long time no see. How you doing?" I said, "Well, young man, I'm doing pretty good." You know, the usual pleasantries. And I said to him, "What do you think of this socialist movement in the United States?" He said, "I'm kind of a social guy. I like it." You got to be kidding me. Two people with two answers that hadn't seen the ball since the kickoff. And so I asked another person about that same age group, "What do you think about communism?" "It's terrible. We got to fight it." And I thought, maybe the American public hasn't educated themselves enough on Marxism, socialism, but they understand communism. And when I spoke to this group, they were very appreciative. But it was interesting because across the street, there were communist protesters raising their flags and this and that and the other. Kind of tickled me. You know, I got spit on when I got home from Vietnam, so what? And I've been shot at for real by communists, so I didn't care if they yelled at me. But one thing, before we go to break, I'm going to leave you with this. As they hollered obscenities and whatever, I thought many people who wore the uniform gave them the right to do that, but they didn't earn it. This is Larry Connors, USA.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hi, I'm Jack Jackson, setting in for Larry Connors today and Larry Connors USA. It's a privilege to be with you folks today. And I know you're listening because you care. You're about patriotism and what this nation's all about. Many of us, most of us don't care for the way we're headed. Before the break, I told you about a couple of conversations I had with some folks about Marxism, socialism, and communism. And make no mistake about it, China is out to undermine us. They've done it with funding, you know that, and they've gotten into sports, into businesses. They're even into agriculture. They bought up stuff and drove the prices up, and we have to beware. I want to share for a moment, you know, the news of the day just goes on and on and on. But sometimes, you know, we hear about Senator Scott. We hear about Kerry. We hear about Josh Hawley taking on big tech. We hear about Senator Josh Hawley, excuse me. We hear all these things, and we hear them over and over and over. And I just want to share a personal story with you about me and China and me and Russia, communist countries. Let me share the first story about China, because that's who we're talking about mainly, and what they're going to try and do. They've built more, first of all, they've got more ships, they've got more airplanes, they build them faster, and don't kid yourself, they know how to use them, and they're good. I have seen them. I've flown two Russian airplanes, and they are good. And it takes us 14 years from the time if Larry and I were in the Pentagon and said, let's build a new airplane, to get it to start to be tested. And by that time, it's perhaps antiquated because of the bureaucracy and the funding. And it's gotten worse now because our commander-in-chief, I don't think, really cares. But that's just Jack Jackson saying that. I don't know. That's just me. But the story I want to tell you about China is a personal story. And stick with me, folks. We'll get back to the USA. But this could happen to you. In my previous life, I had some security clearances that were pretty high up. I was briefed on the threats to America. I was told about the Chinese and other communist countries and other regimes that were, as they say, not going to be friendly to us. My daughter and her husband and my grandson, his company transferred him to Shanghai. And while he was there, he was going pretty good. I did get tickled once when my daughter says, "Daddy, they got security cameras everywhere." I said, "Make sure you smile when you see that camera because you're on candid camera." But my wife and I decided we wanted to try and go over there to visit our son and daughter-in-law. Or the other way around, my daughter and son-in-law. I got all tongue-tied there. The pressure's on, Larry. I'm working it. And so you have to apply for visas. Well, we applied, and I sent mine up, and it kept coming back, and it kept coming back. I'd sent it into the agencies, and it kept coming back. And this went on 3 or 4 times. Now, my wife got hers right away. Her visa to go to China. Well, I called the agency that was kicking mine back, and it was a U.S. Security agency. And they said, "We don't want you to go." I said, "Why? My daughter's over there. I'd like to visit. I've not seen the Great Wall of China. I haven't those things that you read about in the classroom." And they said, well, finally they said, "Okay, you can go. We'll submit it." And they said, "But before you go, here's some rules. Don't go off the beaten path. Don't stroll down an alley. Don't buy a souvenir. If you want a souvenir, let your wife buy it." And the story behind that was, if they know who I was, they could sell me a souvenir that had something I wasn't supposed to have, and I could get stopped trying to get out of the country. That's what they told me. They told me that the Chinese Gestapo held a diplomat who had a maroon passport, because everybody else is blue in the United States, for 6 hours for questioning. And they shouldn't have held him a minute. So then they said, "When you get back, we want a debrief." No worries. I'm just going to see the Great Wall and visit my daughter and son-in-law. Well, they sent it to the Chinese, and I kept getting all these. They'd kick it back and say, "Where are you staying? What hotel?" "I'm staying with my daughter." "Where does she live? How are you going to get there? What's the exact date you're going? Where are you going to go when you're there?" And finally, I took it back to one of the agencies, and they said, "They're not going to let you in. They've got a file on you." A personal story. Did it affect my income? Did it affect my going? Yes, it did. And finally, I convinced my daughter and her husband and my grandson to come home, get out of there. And they are. They're back. And he done well with the Chinese. And he talked to me about the people and that sort of thing. And the people are pretty, they're just like you and I, but they're not allowed to get along with their lives. That's my personal story of the Chinese. As far as the communist Russia, 1995, I went to Russia to fly 2 of their jets at the invitation of the Russian government. I flew the Su-27 and the Yak-38. And I'm going to have to rush this story because I want to finish it and get on to our Dr. Lemon here in a minute. But while I was over there, a week, and I was briefed on what to do, what to say, what words to listen to, because I had met with one of their chief pilots about 2 years before here in the United States. And so when I got over there, now this is 94, 95, and we're supposed to have a good working relationship. Russia's coming down. being friendly to their people. And there was a guy, you know, when you fly airplanes, there's people that help you with the pre-flight. They put gas in it. In a jet, they help you strap in. If you saw Top Gun, that's close. But there was this guy, he just stood around. He had on jeans and tennis shoes and a jacket. Well, finally, one day when I wasn't flying, because I flew two of the jets and had a day off, I was sitting on a flight line. And I was told not to go near a certain hangar. Well, Larry knows me. Those of you that know me, that's like telling a dog, don't eat my steak off the grill. That was not going to happen. So I was pretty careful, I thought. So I looked around, and I'm sitting on a chair out on the flight line. And I looked around, thought, no one's watching. So you guessed it, folks. I slowly strolled over to the hangar, and I opened the door. And there stood their next generation of fighter. All of a sudden, and I wish I could show you this, but I get this tap on the shoulder. And I turn around, and it's the guy in the blue jacket and the jeans. He said in a very rough voice, you're not supposed to be here. And as some of my members of my house, when I was on the state rep, though I have a tendency not to be too politically correct. So I looked at this guy and I said, what do? You don't help with anything. He said, well, I'm a watchman. I'm a night watchman in a bank, and I'm just doing extra money out here. And I said, that made me really mad. I said, I've got three kids. I know when someone's lying to me. And so I looked at him and I said, is that the First National Bank of the KGB? Ladies and gentlemen, his face lost all color. He stood up and he put his finger right in my face, actually poked me in the chest, and he said, you're Colonel Jackie Jackson. Listed every combat ribbon I had, and hero badges all the way down to campaign ribbons. Said, here's the name of your wife, and here's how she spells it. Here's the name of your three children, and here's their ages. Well, I lost my nerve, and I backed up. And as I backed up out of arm's reach, or I thought he might hit me, I said, well, the KGB is alive and well. And he escorted me back to the airplane where I was supposed to be. That's communism. What they do, how they do it, it was just amazing. And like I said, these Victim of Communism, which is a national organization, the monument in Washington, D.C. was commissioned by President Clinton, and it was dedicated by George W. Bush. So it's real. Anyway, those are my stories about communist China and their infiltration and what they do and how they're going to do it. And last hour we heard how our military is sagging. I worry about it. I worry about it a lot. But I don't get any results from the administration about what they're doing about China. I haven't heard a word. I've heard about Hunter Biden and owns, perhaps I'm told, whether it's true or not, I'll have to wait and see. I just want the facts. Hunter Biden still has stock in a Chinese company or two. But I'll tell you what, I do know this. The Chinese money's into sports, the NBA, the Major League Baseball. They moved because out of Atlanta, the All-Star game, because they were told to. And you know, the players, they're just trying to hit the ball. But big corporations have got to be pulled up short. How do we do it? I quit drinking Diet Coke. I mean, I could drink something else. But our next segment is going to be about sports and gender in sports. As I said, Dr. Rick Layman is coming on. in a little while, and he's going to talk about the advantages of sports and this gender thing. And I don't get this gender thing. I don't get it. You know, I could tell you this much. When my girls were little and I caught a guy going into the restroom after them, you know, there'd be two of us in there and one guy's coming out without some teeth. Am I violent? I'm sorry. It'd probably been mine because I'm not very good in a fight. But I'd have tried. I'd have really tried. And so we're going to talk about that and the differences. And even this Caitlyn Jenner, who is out there, had that sex change, running for governor, her comment was, it's just not fair. Now, who did she say was it fair to? We'll find out. We're going to find out. And it's also, just as a slight footnote, when I was talking to some of these people at the speech I gave, the protest didn't bother me at all, really. It was, I don't care. Like I said, I've been shot at for real by communists. Who cares what they say? Last protest I didn't put up with was when my kids got mad at me and protested because I wouldn't raise their allowance. This is Jack Jackson for Larry Connors on Larry Connors USA. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Hi, this is Jack Jackson back, and we're going to talk a little bit about girls' sports and boys' sports and transgenders and who's really going to get the trophy at the end of the track meet. It's a interesting phenomenon. Now, I don't fully understand it, but I understand that this Caitlyn Jenner, who used to be Bruce Jenner, had this sex change. He was running for governor of California, made the comment that it's not fair. And I researched a little further. I knew the answer. I was teasing you. It's not fair to the girls, according to her. Now, if there's someone should know, because in her previous life, she was a gold medal winner in the Olympics. And so, if it's not fair, I don't understand. It's not fair to the girls. And will it destroy girls' sports? Will it hurt those people who are trying to participate honestly and train honestly and... You heard it here first, folks. Men and women are created differently. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. I'm not taking call-ins. But the good Lord made both, but they're different. And I'll give you an example of how they are different. You know, I flew planes for a living. All my life. I'm just filling in for Larry. He's a good friend and he tells the truth. But we found out in flying airplanes that women have a softer touch than men. What do I mean by that? Well, when a woman flies a transport airplane with passengers and things like that, have to be flown gently. You know, you don't want to upset the passengers. Whereas a fighter, which I flew, you can jerk them and yank them and bank them and turn them and roll them upside down. Now, if you had passengers back, they would not be a bunch of happy campers. We found in our studies that women can fly transport airplanes better than men. And why? Softer touch. They feel things that a man can't. A man, on the other hand, he's rough, he's coarse, he's bullies, he flies fighters. Now, in today's military, there are women that do both. And that's fine. But that's the research we did. And if you want to back it up with, say, practice pistol shooting, a small caliber weapon like a .22, a woman can shoot the bullseye better than a man. A man with a bigger caliber weapon shoots straighter because of the kick and that sort of thing. He doesn't have to feel it. He just pulls the trigger and hopes for the best. We'll be right back. Don't go away. We got to find out who's going to win this race. The transgender, the boy, or the girl. I'm Jack Jackson for Larry Connors, USA.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hi, this is Jack Jackson sitting in for Larry Connors. Thanks for joining us. We got a special guest, the world famous legendary Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. This guy's a legend. He's helped more professional athletes return to the playing field or the courts. Doctor, welcome to Larry Connors USA. I know you're probably wishing to talk to Larry, but I'm the best we can. You're talking in sports terms, you're talking to the junior varsity right now.
Well, that's what Larry said, but I don't believe it, sir. I think you're the best.
It's good to have you on. Hey, tell our listeners a little bit about you, who, some of the folks you've talked to in a professional world, before we actually get into the subject of this transgender boys and girls athletics. So that you're, in my mind, you're the best. But tell our listeners a little bit about you, would you please?
Sure, sure. So I've been in St. Louis since 1980, and I trained at Washington University, and then did a sports fellowship at the University of Pennsylvania. And I've covered the last 5 Olympic Games, and I've been a National League team physician and medical director for 3 teams, including the St. Louis Blues, and have actually 2 Stanley Cup rings. Oh, and wow. I have taken care of, quite honestly, some of the greatest athletes ever, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, which is no secret. It's been in the media, Wayne Gretzky, many, many great athletes, and I've been blessed. So it's been a great career. It's been extremely fun. And, you know, on an ongoing basis, we see NFL kids, Major League Baseball kids, and it's a storied practice in that you kind of follow your patients in the media more than you follow them in the office. So it's been great.
That's great. What a resume, and you've earned it, and congratulations. But I want to talk to you a little bit about transgenders and sports. People mainly talk about, Doctor, just men participating in girls' sports. We'll take that half first, but what do you think of that process from a medical standpoint?
Well, you know, I mean, so we've been through this, and there's a very famous 800-meter runner who I portray as a male. She runs as a female, and no one can touch her. No females can touch her. She wins the 800 hands down. And I think that if there's a question about any gender, you know, you have to revert back to the male gender, meaning a male is always going to have a big advantage. And that could be tennis. That could be track and field. You can't pick a sport, you know, that where a male isn't going to be superior. And this isn't, you know, this isn't racism or anything. This is just medical fact. Guys are bigger. In tennis, they serve harder. In swimming, they swim faster. In track and field, which is a number, right? You get a number when you run 100 meters and run faster. So to say that a male should be able to participate in a female sport is just an unfair advantage. And again, I just think that it's going to ruin female sports.
Yeah, I agree with you. Although you made me feel bad. The last time I played golf, my wife beat me.
That was bad.
Anyway, you know, that is true. I read where there in Australia there was an all-male transgender rugby team. And, of course, they went undefeated, which, right to your surprise, or right to what you just told us, it's bigger, stronger, faster. The other half of that equation, what would possess a male to want to participate in a female sport? Why would they do that? There's got to be an emotional, psychological process there.
Well, I think I agree with that. And, you know, there's all these pictures of the 7-foot-1 guy, male, who's on this female's basketball team. The women are 5'9", you know, 6'1", maybe the tallest, and then this guy's 7'1". And you know, at one level you say to yourself, well, they're trying to game the system. They're trying to win when they couldn't win on the male circuit. But I don't agree with that. I think there is psychological overlay, and I think they're unhappy. You know, they're confused. So I don't believe that they just decide, hey, I can't make any money on the men's PGA circuit, so I'll play on the women's PGA circuit and make a lot of money. I don't believe that happens. Or doesn't happen frequently. I think mostly what happens is, you know, they're conflicted and they end up, like you said, emotionally confused, and they really do feel that they're female, and maybe they are female in their mind and in their manners, etc. But in a sports field, that's different because, you know, if you're male, you're female, and you're playing the piano, it probably doesn't really matter. If you're male, you're female, and you're wrestling. Or you're playing NFL football, or women's football, it probably does matter. So, in that vein, I agree with you. I think they're emotionally conflicted, and it creates. It's not just a simple, hey, I'm going to go win.
Now, is this a two-way street? Do we find a lot of women wanting to participate in men's sports?
I haven't heard of any, but
I don't know. This is your world.
Well, you had some. You had some females that tried to play golf on the men's PGA circuit unsuccessfully. And, you know, you had the occasional person who's a place kicker who's trying to make it in college sports, or the occasional female who wants to be a goalie in college sports. And just the facts are, as you said in the beginning, there's no parity. So, you know, that's a rough ride. And The females that tried to play golf on the PGA men's circuit weren't all that successful on the women's PGA circuit or LPGA circuit. So you knew that they weren't going to be that successful, and they weren't on the men's PGA circuit. So, again, I think it's a one-way street.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I just had to ask professional. I have two questions if you've got time, Doc. The first one is, if these are transgender, do they take certain vitamins or injections of enhancements to participate one way or the other that you become aware of?
Well, so the women, the men that go and become females take female hormones and become more feminine, but you still can't get past the muscle mass, the size, et cetera, fast twitch fibers, slow twitch fibers. And the females that become males absolutely will take male testosterone and try to cross over, and they grow facial hair, they get a deeper voice, et cetera. So there's no question that, I don't know if they're supplements, but they are hormones, and they try to get you closer, you know, to your goal in terms of trying to be transgender. And my personal opinion is, and this is maybe out there, I have no problem with any of this. I think there should be a transgender league, and if you're a female and you want to play, you know, if you're a guy and you want to play female sports, we should have a league, and they should all participate on a level playing field. I have no problem with it. I think it's fine. And vice versa. And I think that's really the way to handle it.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I just wasn't sure. I don't know if these enhancement drugs are legal or not. That's to be determined. But you mentioned earlier in your telling our listeners about your wonderful background that you were involved with the Olympics. What do you think about holding these Olympics in China? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, so the Olympics coming up are in Japan and in Tokyo, and I think, you know, they're looking at the next Olympics in China, and I think that's a to be determined. And so I think there's a lot of concern and a lot of unknown, and I would say right now, you know, that would be a heavily boycotted Olympics. I think they're not just America. I think a lot of countries, you know, are very suspect. And so I think looking at some of the venues, I think we have to be really careful. And in the face of the pandemic and really the uncertainty that everyone says, oh, the pandemic's going to be over. Maybe it will. No one really knows what's going to happen with some of these variants. But right now, I think that would be a very unpopular decision.
Well, I agree with you, but you're the expert in that. Having been with the Olympics, being a physician, and working with sports, I think it's very credible. This is for you. This is your chance to sit behind the microphone. But before you drop off, and I know you're busy, do you have any advice for the young athletes how to not get hurt so that you can watch them and you don't have to treat them?
You know, that's a great question. And I think there's two things going on right now in America. One is over-specialization. You see these kids, they're 8, 10 years old, 11 years old. You know, they're playing on 2 or 3 baseball teams. They're traveling. They're having pitching lessons. And they're all getting hurt because of over-specialization. And when we were kids, you know, you played all the sports and you went from season to season, you're outdoors, et cetera. So I know for a fact that agents, central scouting, football teams, baseball teams, like multi-sport athletes. So if you look at Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, they're all good baseball players. And so if you think about it, if you really want to excel at sports and not get hurt, you probably want to be a multi-sport athlete, especially starting out. Then you're 19, 20, you're a great pitcher, you're a great golfer, then you can kind of subspecialize. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, and this is probably as important as anything, you know, take a season off. You don't have to play 24/7 all year, every year. So I tell all my kids that are really good athletes that maybe are potentially going to get a D1 scholarship or make the Olympics or play in the pros.
Thanks, Doc. You've been wonderful.
You guys, take care.
Appreciate you.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Born through a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the drum began to swing. You should have heard it locked out jailbird sing. Let it rock. Everybody let it rock. Everybody in home say a block.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hi, Jack Jackson, sitting in for Larry Connors today. It's been a wonderful 2 hours. I've really enjoyed it. I hope you have, too. Larry will be back tomorrow. Larry Connors USA brings you the truth. And I've tried to help push that forward with some of my personal experiences that I've shared with you. In addition to the news of the day, we talked to the good Dr. Lehman told us about the transgender sports, and no one's more qualified to do that. And John Russemund talked about the military and where we're at, combat readiness, which we need to keep pushing on. And we talked a little bit about the politics of the day, the Hunter Biden thing. We talked about John Kerry. Many things you'll hear on the radio and things that I thought were important. But I also wanted to point out that there are mistakes and people who I think could care less about what's going on in America. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on, and whether you're Republican or Democrat. You know, we talked about Hunter Biden. I'm really disappointed in Tulane. My gosh, going down and making him a professor or something to teach. I don't know what he's going to teach. I sure wouldn't pay money to sit in that class. He's got a lot of money. He could pay me. I'd sit there then. But I'd cut class after he paid me. But let's talk about some of the other people on the other side of the aisle in closing. I want to wrap, and then I'll wrap this up. Number one was, you probably heard about Mitt Romney. His Republican people were not real happy with his voting in Washington, D.C. And quite candidly, I was proud of them for standing up to him and saying, we don't like what you're doing. Because that starts out, we the people. And he only lost censorship by a few margin votes. I think it was about 80 out of 1,400 cast. He's there to represent his people, just like our representatives are there to represent us. And they got to listen to us because, quite candidly, it's our tax dollars paying their salary. I'm pretty proud of some of the senators taking on big tech and hindering our speeches. Liz Cheney, another one, you know, Dick Cheney's daughter, under fire by the Republican for all the negative comments she says about fellow Republicans. They censured, I think it was Marjorie Greene, not on any committees, because they didn't like what she said. The thing I don't understand is Maxine Waters inciting a riot and the Democrats didn't do anything. Nothing. And I think the minority leader, McCarthy, is going to take that one on. But those are topics that I'm sure Mr. Larry Connors is going to point out and then some when he comes back tomorrow. In the meantime, let me summarize what I thought was important today to share with you. Some of the things about our military. I was associated with the military, and it's near and dear to my heart. Our veterans who have to be taken care of. It bothers me that they're building a $28 million complex to house illegal immigrants, and we got homeless veterans. That bothers me a lot. It bothers me that no one is paying attention to China and communism, whether it be Russia or China. North Korea has gone rogue on us again. But ladies and gentlemen, this nation is full of good people, great people that care about this nation just like you and I do, and are going to help their neighbors, are going to help them do the right thing. If someone's ill, I'll bet you they take a dinner over and take a meal over. I'll bet you maybe they babysit while someone's going out. We have some friends that having surgery today. Her knee was being operated on. The last thing my wife said was she walked out the door, we're going to make a meal. I thought, it'd be good. Can I share? We're home alone. We eat out a lot. She's a good cook. I'd weigh 500 pounds if I let her cook every day. But, Larry, thank you for letting me be on your show. Listeners to Larry Connors USA, thanks for being there for us. Because if it weren't for you, there would be no us. And us stands for United States of America. And I close every speech I make with this. Politicians always say, I want God to bless America. If you're listening, I'm going to change it just a bit because it's for just for you. I want God to bless you because when he blesses you, he has blessed the United States of America. Thank you so much for me being here. And thank you, Larry, for letting me be here because this great nation we have never lets up, never quits, never do we give in to the things our founding fathers fought so desperately for. And God bless you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.